Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. I'm broadcasting from KUT in Austin, Texas. Today, we are launching our election road trip, looking at politics ahead of the midterm elections. And there is a lot of it here in Texas. Joining us now, Ben Philpott, who covers politics for KUT. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
And Alana Rocha is here as well, who covers politics for the Texas Tribune. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So let's start with this Senate race that a lot of people are talking about. Three-term Democratic Congressman Beto O'Rourke is challenging the Republican incumbent senator and former presidential candidate Ted Cruz. There are recent polls that show Cruz has a lead only in the single digits. How surprising is that, Ben?
I think that if you consider what people think is going to happen across the country in this election, and you have a candidate like Ted Cruz, who is popular but also not as popular as some of the other Republicans in the state, then you know it kind of makes sense, along with the money issue. He's raising, you know, twice as much or so.
A lot of small donations, too.
A lot of small donations, not taking any corporate PACs, not taking any special interest groups, according to his campaign. It makes sense that it's kind of a little closer, but how close it'll end up being in November, I guess, is going to be interesting.
And Cruz still has the edge in all of those polls where it is close.
And there's a decent number of undecideds, and those usually swing Republican when the cows come home, as you might say in Texas, but we'll just have to see what happens this year.
So we across the country remember Ted Cruz in the presidential campaign was not a big fan of President Trump. Let's listen here to him after Trump had implied that Cruz's wife was ugly.
You know, I have to say, seeing him go deeper and deeper to the gutter, it's not easy to tick me off. I don't get angry often. But you mess with my wife, you mess with my kids, that'll do it every time. Donald, you're a sniveling coward, and leave Heidi the hell alone.
Okay, so that was then. This is Cruz talking about Trump's handling of the economy and more in a recent interview on Fox News.
Critically, the president, because of his bold leadership, is saving the jobs of thousands, even tens of thousands, exactly the people who elected Donald Trump instead of Hillary Clinton. It was exactly the right decision.
All right. So, Senator, jobs check, ethanol mandate check, prisoners home check. The summit has now been set, and the Iran deal. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, once again, I think the president did exactly the right thing to pull out of the Iran.
Okay. So, Alana, what do voters here think about this flip by Cruz, this embrace of President Trump? Do they buy it?
You know, it's hard to say. I've been thinking a lot about Cruz the morning after at the RNC when he did not endorse Trump in his speech there in Cleveland. And you had supporters of Cruz crying and upset that, you know, it's politics, you know, kind of comes with the game. And Cruz said, no, it's not politics, it's principle. And then shortly after he endorsed him and now has his full backing. I think, honestly, Cruz is looking at the polls. The president enjoys extreme popularity here in Texas. And, you know, he's responding to that.
If you look at the 2016 state convention, Republican state convention, those were the same Cruz supporters who were sad and upset and disappointed. 2018 Republican convention, it was Trump's convention.
And Cruz is also watching Beto O'Rourke. And there was a video that just went out the other day that O'Rourke had been skateboarding through a Whataburger parking lot. Listen to this.
All right, everybody share this. Beto O'Rourke is on a skateboard in a Whataburger parking lot. I don't know if it gets more Beto. You got to share this.
Now, Beto O'Rourke has been holding 5K run events where he jogs with supporters. What is all that about?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's trying, according to his campaign, trying to reach voters where they are. We also just, you know, in addition to the Facebook Lives, the prolific Lives and digital campaigning, we also published a story last week showing that he's invested six-figure amounts in radio and print ads, trying to reach voters who maybe aren't online or on social media.
Some Democrats are calling O'Rourke's campaign losing forward. What does that mean in Texas politics, Ben?
Losing forward, I guess, would mean that you're not getting walloped by 20 points, that you're showing that if you can raise the money and can put in the legwork, can hit all the counties in Texas, all 254 of them. That you can then make this a close race, especially if you are able to turn out those, you know, Texas is a non-voting state. If you can turn out the voters, maybe it can happen.
And that even if you lose in the end, you're building something for the next candidate
that
comes along.
You're advancing the party and getting those voters engaged.
Okay.
This is the most money and energy that's been put into a Democratic race in a while.
Right. Well, and a Democrat hasn't won statewide in decades in this state.
94, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the governor's race, where it looks a little more normal for Texas politics, which is that the incumbent, Greg Abbott, is well ahead in the polls of the former Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez, who is Hispanic, who is a lesbian. She's losing by double digits in the polls. Is there a race here? Is there a possibility if there's a big blue wave? What do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, she is, you know, he has a lot of money, upwards of, what, $40 million at some point. So she's losing in the money race, which means she's losing in name recognition and marketing. I don't think that she really has
a chance. Do people like the job that he's doing in Texas?
Yeah, he enjoys extreme popularity. And I think, yes, you know, of course, those on the left would criticize, you know, his stances on education and healthcare and other, you know, left-wing topics, if you will. But no, I think he enjoys extreme popularity with his base.
Ben, we've been covering one of the many congressional districts that's being called competitive in Texas, the 21st district. We'll hear more about that elsewhere on the show today. But there are a number that are competitive this year in this state.
Yeah, you've got races, and these are specifically races that are suburban areas around those giant cities that we have here in Texas, Dallas and Houston, and a little bit kind of the space between San Antonio and Austin. And that's where we've got kind of a close race for Lamar Smith's seat. I say kind of a close race. This is a race that Republicans have easily won over and over and over again. But you have a race where the money is coming in for the Democrats. The Republican who's running is very well known within Republican consulting circles and not beyond that. So it's not like that candidate has a giant name recognition advantage. And so it's going to be kind of a test of what do the suburbs think about the current president.
It's unusual for this state to have competitive congressional races.
Yeah, and also speaking to another part of San Antonio that stretches into West Texas, CD23, which is currently occupied by Will Hurd, is the only true swing district. In 2016, it went for Clinton, and then it reelected Hurd as well.
I remember the late Ann Richards, the former governor of Texas, saying once on television that some of the districts in this state were so gerrymandered that if you drove down the street with both of your car doors open, you'd hit every house. I'm not sure if that's true, but they definitely have some interesting lines. I want to hear some of the voters that we've been talking to while we've been here, talking about President Trump and how they feel about how he's doing. This is Austin Republican Judy Cobb.
I think he's doing a fantastic job. And I think history will find he accomplished more in his term than others have. But right now, the press is so anti-Trump. I wish they would just be fairer. I just wish they would balance it a little.
What are you talking about specifically? What sticks in your mind about the press being unfair to Trump?
Well, everything that he does, they turn it around, or they look for the worst part of it, or, oh, yes, but he missed this. I don't really think that that's how it should be. I think they should praise him for what he's doing. I think they make us look like idiots in all the countries abroad. It's not good for America to have them always picking on the president.
Okay, so that's one view. Here's Austin Democrat Gary Weaver, who mentioned Trump's tweet last week in which he called his former aide Omarosa Manigault Newman a dog.
He's a grown man, and he tweets Twitter like it's this 12-year-old kid. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's got a name for everybody, and it's not a good name. When you call a woman a dog, I don't care what she does to you or about you. She even is in his party, and she's still a dog. Yeah, well, I'm not crazy about her either, but there's got to be some respect for somebody in this world.
Alana, President Trump, he's popular in Texas, but obviously some mixed views.
Yeah, mixed views. And of course, you are in Austin. So, and they call us the blueberry and the tomato soup. Right. So you're going to get some skewed views there. But you hear often, if you go up to Dallas, you go to Republican events where lawmakers are gathering and you ask them about the president and their popularity, they often parse it out. Like, you, it's almost a talking point. You know, he's doing great for the economy if he would only stop tweeting. Mm-hmm. So they kind of are willing to see the benefit in their pocketbooks, if you will, at the expense of being outlandish online.
Okay, we just have about a minute left here, but I want to ask each of you, what story is happening in Texas that is of national importance that you don't think is getting enough attention? I'll start with you, Ben.
The state legislature here has kind of declared all-out war against some of the largest cities in the state in terms of some of the policies they're putting forward. You know, the large cities in Texas outside of Fort Worth are blue. Mm-hmm. The state is red. The state lawmakers have multiple times been putting forward bills to reverse things that these cities are doing. It's led to lots of different lawsuits. The city of Austin, I think, has three lawsuits currently working against it.
Like sanctuary city policies?
Well, like, we had a plastic bag ban. The city recently did a paid sick leave ordinance. Mm-hmm. San Antonio is doing the same thing.
So those the state's trying to stop all of those. Yep. Alana, what about you?
The so-called blue wave will stop at the red seawall here in Texas. You know, there's not a ton of races that we're watching that are likely to flip to blue.
Hmm.
So that nationwide blue wave doesn't seem to be
penetrate here.
Not be a wave, at least.
All right, we will see. Alana Rocha, multimedia reporter at the Texas Tribune, and Ben Philpott, senior editor here at KUT. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.